we just give them an applause? We are going to show a video in just a second, but I know Treva wants to make a few comments.
I can't believe I volunteered for this. He usually has to twist my arm to say anything. And I'm like, I can say a few comments. I just can't do a whole sermon. I heard this quote, and it just, I just felt like I had to encourage moms today. This quote is by Jill Churchill, and she said, "There's no way to be a perfect mother, but there's a million ways to be a good one." And I just wanted to talk to moms today. Sometimes you feel like everything's got to be perfect. You know, maybe you have a compliant child, and maybe you have a wild child. You know, my family has both.
Yes, we do.
And if he's listening, he knows who he is.
He knows who he is. That's right.
But, you know, we face pressures today. Pressures if you're in school to do well on an exam. Pressures if you have to give a presentation. Pressures to do well on your job. Pressures to make more money. Pressures if you're single to find Mr. Right. And
I'm taken.
Motherhood, it's impossible to be perfect. Don't do that to yourself.
Amen. That's right.
I used to say that I wish that motherhood came with an instruction manual. You know, you buy a gas grill and you got all these instructions on how to put the thing together. If you buy a piece of furniture. And I used to say, I really wish that motherhood just had an instruction manual that you could just go to troubleshoot this area, you know. And then I realized one day, there is an instruction manual. It's called the Bible.
That's right.
Okay? That's our instruction manual. Amen. For motherhood. And so, you know, I'm sure we've all done this. You question, oh, do I let them sleep with me in bed at night? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Am I starting something I shouldn't? Am I letting them watch too much screen time? Am I letting them eat too much fast food, too much junk food? Should I, as they get older, the stage I am, do I give them advice or do I not? You know, all of those questions go through. And so don't overthink it. Okay, just don't overthink it. Just follow God's word. Do the best you can. It won't be perfect, but it will be good. Don't ever settle. I would say, though, don't ever say, well, I'm perfect, so I'm going to quit trying. No, we always strive. There's always room for improvement. But give yourself some grace and give others some grace. So I think we're going to hear a little bit later from him. Love must be sincere. And I mean, if you're sincere in your love and in how you're raising your children and you're seeking God, don't try to be perfect. There's a million ways to be a good mom, but you don't have to be everything just right. I just want to encourage you in that today, because I know there are some that struggle with that you know, are my kids going to grow up to be hoodlums? And I'm just going to tell you and encourage you today that if you just follow Christ and teach them the ways of God by only not only your words but by your actions, let them follow your footsteps, God will be sure they're okay. Okay? Just let him help you with it. So to all the moms out there, maybe you still have kids at home. Maybe your kids are all grown up. To some, maybe you've outlived a son or daughter. And my heart goes out to you today. Mother's Day is not always happy for everyone. So my heart goes out to you today. Maybe some of you are moms to babies that you never got to hold. My prayers are with you today. So maybe you are a mom who's raising them on your own. Also, not an easy task. My prayers are with you today. Moms of children who have wandered from God, never stop believing.
That's
for
right.
Them to come back to God.
Amen.
All things are possible. And maybe some of you are longing to be a mom and you're still waiting. And our family has experienced that too. And I know the sorrows that come with that. So I just want to encourage you today. You know, God's word recognizes you as strong and praiseworthy. Her children will rise up and call her blessed.
Amen.
So just enjoy today. being a mom, and God bless, and I love all of you.
Amen. Don't leave. So can I have all the mothers to stand? Amen. Good looking group of ladies. I'm going to ask my wife to pray over you. Would you just sort of extend your hand? I know that sounds a little weird maybe to some of you. You just extend your hand to hers, and she's going to extend. We're just going to believe that God is going to impart something to you today.
God, I thank you that you created motherhood. And Lord, it was your plan and your design. And what an honor and what a joy and what a privilege. So, Lord, I lift up, I pray a blessing, Lord, over every woman standing today, Lord, every mother. Jesus. And God, I just pray that you would sustain them on the hardest days and on the days filled with joy, God, that you would be there for them and with them, Lord, that you would assure them, reassure them that you see them, that you've not forgotten them, and that you are their strength and you are a strong tower that they can run to and find safety and find answers and find help. Lord, I just pray, God, from this day forward, Lord, that they will hear your voice clearly. Lord, as they ask you for advice, God, you will be there for them. I pray, God, that they will rest in you, Lord, not striving to be all that and more, but, God, that they'll just realize, Lord, that their ministry is those children they're raising. For the moms out here, Lord, that maybe are not at that stage of life, I pray, God, that you will fulfill them in ways that only you can. And Lord, if they still miss that being a mother and long for that, I pray you will send neighborhood children, children in the church, friends, Lord, that you'll send kids to their pathway, Lord, that they can be a mom to. There's so many kids today that need a mother, a godly mother. So Lord, I pray that all of us would just walk in our calling wherever we are at the stage of life we're in. But Lord, I call them blessed. I call them praiseworthy, Lord. I call them wonderful women of God, Lord, the highest calling that there is, Lord, is to teach our children and raise them up to know and to love you. So Lord, bless them all today, whatever stage they're in, and God, walk with them and give them joy overflowing today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Treva said not to overthink it. You know, sometimes the word of the Lord is especially simple. And you may think, well, that's too simple to be God. But, you know, for our little simple mind, sometimes we need a simple word. And when God called us to start this church and to pastor this church, I told the Lord, I need a vision for what you're wanting to do. And the Lord told me something that I thought, well, that surely it can't be that simple. And it has not changed. Matter of fact, we talked about it on the way to church today and what God is doing in our midst. And the word the Lord gave me to start this church is the same word that he continues to give me. Just love the people. Now, how simple is that? Just love the people. And that's what God has called Treva and I to come down here just to love you. Some of you challenge us, but no. But we do love you. We've got a short video for you. Are we going to be able to show that, Jonathan? God bless you. Man, made me cry every time. Today I want to talk to you. I don't really have what you would call a Mother's Day sermon, and yet I kept trying to develop a Mother's Day sermon, and it just wouldn't happen. So I said, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And the Lord told me to stay in Romans. And I'm amazed at how the Holy Spirit puts these things together. And the timing of God is just so important. And so last week I spoke to you about five verses in Romans. And today I want to talk to you about five words in Romans. And it's Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It's just actually the first half. And it says, let love be without hypocrisy. The old King James says, let love be without dissimulation. And some would say, let love be sincere. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let's pray. Jesus, we just come before you today. And Lord, it's a special day for us as we celebrate moms. And God, we just ask, Lord, that you would move. And Lord, I pray that you would touch every mom, every female here, but Lord, I pray that you also touch every person here. God, that every one of us would increase in our knowledge and our walk with you, that we would be changed to be more like you today, Lord, than ever before. Father, let us hear your heart today. Let us hear the wisdom of heaven. Father, we're all gaining instructions. We read books. We go to school. We take courses because we want to increase our wisdom. But Lord, there's no earthly wisdom like heavenly wisdom. So God, I'm asking you, Lord, for your heavenly wisdom to come down and fill our souls today. God, I thank you for every visitor in this place today. I pray that your spirit would allow them to be comfortable and just to receive, to let the nervousness pass, God, so that they can just be a receiver today from what you have in store for them. So God, we just say to God be the glory. Great things you have done. You have filled our hearts with joy in so many different areas. So God, speak through me. Let the words of my heart and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When you start talking about love, we immediately go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's known as the love chapter. And so I've got that on the screen for you. And I'm reading it out of the Message Bible for you today. And I've included one verse. I think it starts with about verse 4 through about verse 8 is where it really begins to define love. I need a Kleenex. Should never show a video. It's going to make me cry. I told you I can't even watch The Little House on the Prairie. But I included one verse before it gets really to defining love. And it says this, if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So matter what I say and what I believe, what I do, listen to those words. I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than it does for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. I'm pretty sure that's written to men. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel others when they gravel, doesn't take pleasure in the flowering of truth, but puts up with anything. Love trusts God always. It always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Gary Smalley said this, genuine love is honor put into action regardless of the cost. And then Gary Smalley come out with something, and many people will argue with this, but it's truth. Love is a choice. Love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is a gift of the Spirit. But love is a choice. You have a choice. Even in the midst of a fight, you have a choice. In the midst of disagreement, you have a choice. You can either choose to continue to fight. You can choose to be angry with each other. You can choose to pick your love up and take it elsewhere. You have a choice. But God says this, let love be sincere. You know, I think that God's word is always pertinent and God's word is always timely. But I think there's certain seasons in our world where certain words of God almost becomes more important than it used to be. Does that make sense? I believe that we live in such a world where there's not much sincerity. Ouch. And the Lord is saying, this one you must be sincere with. Have you ever heard the phrase, we live in a plastic world? Yeah, people spend stuff that they don't have. That's the beginning of insincerity. Trying to be somebody you're not, trying to promote and look like you're somebody that you're not. But here, the Word of God says, love must be sincere. Can I say this? In the body of Christ, above all things, love needs to be sincere in the body of Christ. And we should sincerely love each other. And 1 Corinthians defined about that. You know, it's funny. A church is a living organism. It's a family. In a family, you have fights. Let's talk to the Ellises for a second. They have four boys. I'm sure you guys never had a fight, right? You probably felt like most of your time you were a referee and not a dad, right? It's just part of it. We have to referee. We got a principal of a school back there, and probably the main job he does is just keeping order. And that's sometimes the way it is in the church, but it ought not be. I promise you this, when you go to this church or another church, you're going to have people that's going to rub you the wrong way. Got one truthful man in the back. He's probably saying, yes, Pastor, it's you. And you have a choice. Have you ever been in a church that you have to have an assigned seat? Because you got to sit on the right because the person you hate sits on the left. Do you know that that's true? You know that there are churches where people go to church that they hate some of the people there. Ought not be. Come on. That ain't right. And that's not God's will. Let love be sincere. So I want to go back for just a second, and I want to talk to you in the original language of the Bible. The New Testament is written in Greek, so they have four words for love. Americans have one. That's why we can say, I love my wife and I love cheeseburgers, right? And we don't distinguish between the two, and sometimes your wife probably thinks you love cheeseburgers more than you love her. But they had four words that they would use, and the first one was eros, and that's an erotic type of love. I find that, boy, you talk about a terrible foundation for a marriage. It's an erotic love. You know why? Because we age. Things change. Things drop, right? Things that used to be in certain places all of a sudden are not there 20 years later. So if your love is built on your sight, you're going to be in trouble. So the love that God is speaking of is not an erotic love. And then there's the word stergo. And that's the word that we would get from a family type of love. You know, it's the love that you would have for your children, which is, man, it's about as close to agape love as there is the love that we have for our children. Probably supersedes any other type of love, right? Because there's not many moms or dads here that wouldn't lay your life down for your kids, right? Man, If you've ever had a child get sick, I've heard many parents say, I wish I had that cancer. I wish I could have died instead of them. And I know there was sincerity there. I know if you've ever lost a child, I know that that would be you, that you would have rather died as to have your child die. It's a pretty godly love. Then we have Philia, which is where we get Philadelphia. It's the city of brotherly love. So Philia is a brotherly type of love. And it sounds good. The only thing is, it's a companion type of love. It's like this. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It's probably the most frequent love that we have in America is, I love those that are good to me and I hate those that are bad to me. And sometimes, boy, you guys are quiet today, and that's okay. I'll just preach. Treva says, you got to get away from everyone. Everybody say amen to you. can I just say? Okay. I guess I stepped into that. Let's go back to the brotherly love, okay? Because I think some of you need a little bit of this right now. We live in a society that's the way we operate. I love you if you'll do good to me. And possibly, if I love you, you will do good to me. It's a very selfish type of love, right? And that's what I find comes into the church. Well, see, we think that that's the love that we're supposed to have as the body of Christ. It's not. It goes far greater than that. Yes. See, the church body is to love people that hate you. Wow. Is that hard, Pastor? I don't know. I've never done it. No, I'm too. Yes, it's hard. It's hard when people curse you. I'll just get real honest for a second. As a pastor, that's not that uncommon. It's not that uncommon for people to say really ugly, vile things about you. And then some of them stay in the church. And you know what you got to do? You got to love them. You got to love them. You know, maybe I shouldn't say it that way. Maybe I should say it this way. You get to love them. Sometimes the love of God is not humanly possible, but it's godly possible. So you may think, Pastor, I just don't know if I can do what you're fixing to ask. You probably can't, but He can through you. Agape is the God kind of love. It's very unselfish. It's a picture of His love towards us. It's so profound that it knows no limits, no boundaries, and how far, how wide, how high, and how deep it will go to show love to its recipients. It's the highest form of love there is. It's a self-sacrificing love that moves to action. To us, we often love in word, but not in deed. And the Lord wants us to love both ways. So I've just got a few things that I want to talk to you today about. And the first one is, who are we to love? Who are we to love? Now, this may surprise you, but the most that we are to love is each other. Say, Pastor, we're supposed to love everybody. Yes, we are. You're right. But who does God instruct us to love? The most instruction is to love each other, to love the body of Christ. You know why? Because then the world will see Jesus in us. See, the world looks at the church and they don't see us much different than the Rotary Club. Sometimes not as good. Especially when we're fighting constantly. Fighting over carpet or the color of the walls or whether we should buy a van or not. Give me a break. You know, I think some of us are going to have to do some repenting when we get before the Lord. And I think the Lord may say something like this. You carried unforgiveness in your heart for 30 years because of something somebody said. God help us. That's not love. If there's one thing that's a cancer to the body of Christ, it's unforgiveness. It's going to kill you. It's not going to hurt that person. It's going to hurt you. Get rid of it. That's a good counseling session right there. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 19, he says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart," now the old King James used to say his heart of compassion, "from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this they'll know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Last couple of days, there's been something on Paris 411, I guess, what's what you call it. And people are asking, where is a church that will love me if I'm a homosexual? And some of the people in this church and that have come to this church have been putting Bridge of Hope out there. Bridge of Hope will love you. Bridge of Hope will love you. And for that, I say this, yes, we will. But we won't change our message. You see, to the world, love is not telling me when I'm wrong. Just let me do my own thing. I said a few weeks ago that there's a common phrase today that we use in our communities today. When we disagree, we say something like, "Well, you be you. You do you." That's the most ungodly statement I've ever heard in my life. Amen. I'm sorry. You don't get a choice in this thing. You're a dead person. See, when you accept Jesus, you accept his ways. Now, will we love? Absolutely. We will love them. Because as I look out here among you and I know me, there are no perfect people. Every one of us have things in our heart. So how dare I, with my problems, look at somebody else and judge them for their problem or their sin? Let's call it what it is. So is there going to be judgment? No. Is there going to be love? Yes. Is there going to be truth? Absolutely. See, culture may change, but God's words never changes. Always truth. So we're to love each other. Love is the guiding principle in the kingdom of heaven. We start off with one verse that most of us know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would have life." I love verse 17, "For God didn't come into this world to condemn the world." Why do we think it's our job? Right? Come on. Why would it be my job to condemn sinners if Jesus didn't? That is right. Galatians 6:1, just to move it a little further. He says, "Brother, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." So what's my job? To gently restore. What does that mean? That means if we have a thief come in the house, we don't condemn the thief. We teach him the truth. We teach him how to be honest. See, most of the churches say, hey, keep preaching about homosexuality. That doesn't affect me. But let's not get on to lying, or gossiping, or stealing, or being unfaithful, because that hits me. My job has never been to judge you. And if I have, I'm sorry. But my job is to restore you. In the church that we grew up, the guy who took the offering got special recognition in the paper one day for stealing from his business. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, one offense would have been enough that he's stealing. But the fact that he took the offering and was constantly telling people to give and encouraging them how God would be faithful, it was a double whammy. What should we do? Well, what do you think we did? We kicked him out of the church. No, we didn't. Because that's not what the Lord says. Is there a time that you ever do that? Yeah, there is. If a person's unwilling to change, Paul said, you need to get rid of this guy. Have you ever seen it, Pastor? Only once. Over 50 years in the church, I've seen it one time. What's your job? There are no perfect people. Your sin is not worse or better than theirs. Matter of fact, I think it's Romans 13 says, don't judge another man's servant. You know, we do that all the time in the body of Christ, right? We look at each other and we judge them. That's not your job. Matter of fact, the Word of God's pretty specific on this. If you're judging others, your judgment is going to be more strict. With the same measure you judge, you're going to be judged. Here's a good word for you. Grace. If you're going to err in this thing, err on the side of grace and mercy. I am preaching a whole lot better. You're shouting. See, there's some messages that are for a few select people. There's other messages that hit every one of us. Let love be sincere. That's every one of us. Say, Pastor, you obviously don't know me because I do a great job with this. Well, God bless your heart. Would you teach me? We can all grow. Husbands, is the love that you have for your wife, is it sincere? Doesn't keep record wrong. Doesn't ask for anything in return. Wives. You know, we look to you, right? Men look to their wives. See, we are physically stronger, but emotionally, we are not. Men, we don't like to admit this, but we look to our wives for leadership in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways is, teach me to love. Teach me what this thing is. I don't know. You know, she's asking for some kind of instruction manual with our kids come home. Seemed to me she had it. She knew how to do everything. I never changed a diaper in my life. When we brought Matthew home, I went to the bed sick for 3 days. It was nothing more than nerves. I was a nervous wreck. I mean, I'm like, I don't know anything about... See, my stepdad, he was an equal opportunity hater. He hated everybody. Men, women, boys, girls, it didn't matter. He just hated people. So people was not allowed in our house. Now, my mother was Mrs. Hospitality. But my dad could clear a room. I mean, he hated her family. He hated everybody. He hated the church. He just hated people. So therefore, we grew up sort of isolated. I didn't know what it was like to change diapers or raise kids. And I asked her, you know my wife. Treva, you know what you're doing? She said, well, I think so. Well, that didn't give me a lot of confidence. I mean, geez, we got this baby we got to raise, Treva. You think you know what you're doing? One of the two of us need to know something. Oh, God's mercy is so wonderful, right? Somehow we got through it. And I do find myself as a grown man, as a grandfather, apologizing a lot to my children. Guys, I'm so sorry. You know, hopefully it won't take you too many years of counseling to get past me, but I taught you. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we'll grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. You know, sometimes when you're counseling people, You have to teach them this verse. Guys, you need to speak the truth. But there's two powerful words. See, all the truth don't need to be spoken until you can speak it in love. Matter of fact, I have an anointed word for you. Shut up. Don't speak it until you know you can speak it in love. Whoever you're talking to. Man, that would solve so many counseling sessions, so many divorces. Love is the summation of the Old Testament, and it's the new command of Jesus. In Mark chapter 12, the first commandment of the Lord is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Remember, a lawyer came to Christ and he asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And this is what he quoted. In John chapter 13, he says, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Are you beginning to understand how important this is? You know, in the church, especially in a Pentecostal church, what we elevate is gifts. If there's one thing that I have seen almost destroy a church, it's gifts without character. So we need to develop the character along with the gift. What are you talking about, Pastor? Character is love. Character is truthfulness. Character is when you open your mouth, nothing comes out except for truth in love. Let love be sincere. In the home, in the church, in the workplace, wherever you're at. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. Now he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is singular. And then he gives you 9 words. Singular word, fruit. And then he tells you 9 words of what they are. Doesn't really make sense until you realize the fruit of the Spirit is one. It's love. The next 8 words describe love. Love is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. And the end of that verse says, against such there is no law. Against what? Against love. Say, Pastor, I'm a little worried that I'm loving too much. No. Give that one up. You're not going to be too loving. Husbands, I promise you, you cannot be too loving to your spouse. Wives, you know, Scripture tells the husbands to love their wives. It never tells the wife to love their husband. Why? There's like an innate ability in women. I'm telling you, guys, ladies, you've got something we don't have. Help us. You know, James Dobson says this. James Dobson, do you guys know James Dobson? I know he's a little older, but we raised our kids on James Dobson stuff. And he said when a boy is, I think it's the last trimester of a male child being born. He said there's an acid that washes over their brain. Yeah. I'm serious. It doesn't happen in girls. It just happens in boys. We're brain damaged from the start, guys. I'm telling you. What did that wash away? I think it washed away this emotional thing that teaches us. You know, that baby came out of the womb, and the doctor held it up, and it peed on tree. First thing. She said, you little rat, give me that baby. You know? We brought that kid home, and I thought I loved him. I wasn't really for sure. I mean, he just screamed at me every night for about an hour and a half. And just. And then he was born November 18th. And about a week before Christmas, I took Treva and the baby to her mom and dad's house. And I was going to join them at the later, the last part of the week when I got off. And it was in that few days that I realized how much I loved that little guy. You see what I'm saying? She knew it when the kid come out. It took me 6 weeks to figure out I loved him. I mean, and I'm now teaching you on how to love. Some of you are probably scratching your head like, I think we might have the wrong teacher today. It didn't come natural, but God taught me. I was leading worship one day and the Lord spoke to my heart, as he did often when I was leading worship, and he said this. He said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. And man, I can tell you, I bawled like a baby for the rest of the song service because I knew he was speaking to me because I was a fatherless. See, my greatest concern when having children was, I'm not sure I know how to be a daddy. I just didn't know. And God was reassuring me that he would teach me. Thank God for his love. Love is the proof more than words. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love, now listen to this, because this is the word of the Lord. Are you getting this? This is God's word. He who does not love does not know God. See, if you want to evaluate your Christianity, this is where you evaluate it. How am I doing loving? For God is love. You see, God says, I am love. And if you're part of me, I believe that when we get saved, our DNA changes. I think something happens supernaturally, we become like Him. And I needed a DNA change. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation. That's the atoning sacrifice or a satisfying offering for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How you doing in your walk with God? Look at your love life. Is every relationship that you have strained? Are you one that quickly flies off the handle? Do you always think that you have to have the last word? Are you the person that's just brother or sister sandpaper in the church? You need to ask the Lord for a little help. I'm not condemning you and I'm not judging you. I don't know who you are. But I'm just saying, if you want to be like Christ, this is where you're going to change your love walk. Maybe I should say this. Not only your love walk, but your love talk. So don't just walk it, talk it. Don't just talk it, walk it. Good, thank you, Jesus. That's pretty good. Not in my notes, but somebody ought to write that down. So I wanted to give you just a couple of examples of some stories that I believe are really great stories in the body of Christ. And the very first one is the story of Esther. And I don't know if you know it or not. I will try to go real quickly through it. But Esther, I think her Hadassah was her real name, a Jewish name. Her mom and dad were killed. So she was an orphan. She was going to be raised by her uncle Mordecai. And there was a king in that day, and the king threw a drunken bash. And somewhere during, I mean, it was a long drunken bash, not a day. It was weeks long. And somewhere when they were all, I think the Bible says high in spirits and drunk on their face, in other words, he and the king invited his queen out, and she had no part of it. I am not going to try to entertain a bunch of drunken men. The Bible doesn't say that. That's Eric's version, okay? And so the other guys, the wise guys, right, the king's counselors, they got together, and they said, King, if your wife don't obey you, What do you think you're going to do to our wives? Sounds pretty wise to me. No, it's not wise. So in other words, her name was Vashti. And so they kicked her out. I mean, she just lost the throne just like that. And so all of a sudden now the king needs a new queen. And so they begin to interview people for this position. And Mordecai goes to his niece, who he raised as a daughter. And he says, I believe that you should apply for this job. And so they went through literally about a year of beauty treatments, right? Before they would go to the king, they would just spend this time beautifying themselves. And so the day that there's probably 1,000 women. So the day that she goes before, she is chosen as the next queen. And he doesn't know she's Jewish. See, they're living in a foreign land. The Jews are not in a good place at that point. They're living under dominion. And so he chooses her not... Now, they say, when you read history, they say that Esther was probably the most beautiful woman that ever lived. I believe this. I believe it was the favor of God on her life. Not just to make her beautiful, but, you know, you've heard the saying, beauty is more than skin deep, right? You know, have you ever met a beautiful woman and then they open their mouth? Ooh. Pretty sure her head spins around. She spits out green stuff. That ain't pretty, right? So beauty is from the inside comes out. So Queen Esther is taken into this position. And then all of a sudden, I won't go into all this story, but Mordecai doesn't bow to the second in command. And boy, there's just a hatred that goes on. And so Haman is the evil guy in the story. And Haman goes to the king and he says, I believe that we need to eradicate this Jewish people. Just get rid of them. So they set a day where they're going to go out and kill all the Jews. And Mordecai, her uncle, finds out this story. And he says, you need to go before the king and make a petition before the king and have us spared. And she said, Uncle Mordecai, don't you know that if I go before the king without him petitioning me, it could mean my death? You don't just go before the king. He has to call you in. She said, it's been a month since he has called me. I don't know what's going on, but I'm not real secure in my position right now. And he said, don't you know that for such a time as this, God has brought you into the kingdom? I want you to know that that child that you have is not a nuisance. It's not an accident. It's God's gift to you. Every child is a gift from God. Every child, even the aborted ones. I'll tell you what, we have such a celebration in America right now. The fact that Roe versus Wade could be reversed is a shout. Praise God. So long story short, she goes before the king and she makes her petition known through the series of events. And the guy who wanted to kill all the Jews was actually hung on the gallows that he wanted to kill another man with. And the Jews were able to defend themselves against any oncoming aggression. So God used Queen Esther. What I want you to see is I believe Queen Esther... And she was a mother also. She had Darius II. But a couple of things that I see in her. Number one is courage. See, I think it takes a great deal of courage to be a mom. There's also a lot of unselfishness. You know, Treva and I are now, she's actually having a birthday next week. I won't tell your age. But she's older than I am. Get that doghouse back out. I thought I got rid of that. Here it come again. We're at a stage in our life, a season of our life, where we don't offer advice until it's asked. And it's not asked much. So what do? You love. and pray. Pray a lot. But you just love. You just have to love. Ladies, being a mom takes a great amount of courage at all stages. See, when your kids get 18, you don't stop being a mom. And when you take on the title of grandma, man, it's greater and it's worse. Right? It's greater in the fact you get to send them home. Hallelujah for that. You get to love the little guys and say, go on, you stinking brat. Go on back to your mom. But don't you notice all the things that they're doing wrong? Or is it just me? Why is it at this season of our life, we see all the error, but we can't say anything? You got to pray. You got to trust God. It takes a great amount of courage, moms. I know men are supposed to be the courageous ones, but you know what? We learn it from you. We learn self-sacrificing. See, Esther was willing to go to her grave to save her people. There's not a mom in here that wouldn't go to her grave to save her child. And dads, we learn that from you, ladies. We learn how to be selfless. It's hard on us. I got a revelation for you. You know, men have big egos. I'm sure you've never heard that before. It's true. We have big egos. And for us to deny ourselves when we're a king, I mean, you know, that's what we think. It's difficult for us. So we look to you to teach us. Teach us how to love. Teach us to be selfless. Teach us to be courageous. That's the story of Esther. God wants to do great things in you, through you. You know, for years and years and years, women were belittled. Well, you know, there was a time in this world when you wasn't much above cattle. You were just sort of a possession. The day has changed. The day has changed. And it's a good change. There are still churches that you're not welcome to speak in. They just don't have the full revelation of the word. Because the Bible says that He'll pour His Spirit upon men and women, on all flesh. See, you can be just as anointed as any man. You may have the word of the Lord to preach or to teach. That could be God's gift on you. Accept it. But the greatest thing is, walk in love. You may think you're godly, but if you're not loving, you're not godly. Because God is love. Would you stand with me? In Mark chapter 2, four friends, I always saw them as male. I don't know what you think, but always thought that they were probably men. They wanted to bring their friend to Jesus, and he was a paralytic, couldn't walk, so they were carrying him on a mat. There's no way they could get into the house to bring their friend before Jesus. So somebody had the great idea, let's climb on the roof. Let's tear the roof apart so that we can let our friend down. What's that all about? Love. Do you love enough to tear the roof off for somebody? You know, it's possible that your children are not living for God like you think they should. I would say this, keep your mouth shut and just talk to Jesus. Make it a matter of prayer. Just pray. God, they're yours. Or as a man would say, sick 'em, Holy Ghost. Don't you want to go to a church like that? Seriously. Don't you really want to go to a church or be a part of an organization that everybody loves each other? Now, it may be that you're fighting with somebody, but you choose to forgive. You choose to walk in love. I can't promise you that you're never going to have a disagreement. I can almost promise you the other. See, in this world, you'll have tribulation. That's John 17, I believe. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You have a choice today. It's not just about mamas. It's about each one of us. Is there strife in your home? James says in chapter 4, where does this fighting come about? It comes from me. It comes from the selfishness of my heart. You know what? I didn't get my way. Sometimes I wonder, do we ever get past 2 years old? The only thing that as an adult that we have learned to do is not throw ourselves on the floor and scream and holler and beat the floor. We just have our temper tantrums other ways because now we're dignified as adults. It's time for that nonsense to stop. It's time for us to decide, God, I want to love like you love. Is that your prayer today? Would you take that challenge? Are you courageous enough to ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you're not loving? Be careful. Are you willing? I want to see your hands. Are you willing to say, Holy Ghost, I want you to show me. If there's an area of my life where I'm not loving like you want, come on. Really? That's what, maybe 70% of the congregation. God bless you. You say, Pastor, I just don't like to raise my hand. Get over yourself. You're just not being obedient. When the pastor says raise your hand, you ought to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. If you think you need special prayer, you see me after church somewhere and let me pray and Treva pray specially for you. Father God, I come before you right now. Lord, you saw every honest person in this church that the Spirit of God has touched them today with your word and has challenged their heart. Father, I pray, God, that they would not be able to dismiss this quickly. I pray, God, that the seeds of your word would go deep into our heart, and our heart had been prepared by worship so that it was good ground. God, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost right now would speak to us individually and say, here's where you're not loving. Here's where you're missing it. Here's where you're going wrong. God, show us so that we can correct it. And God, maybe I can't do it on my own. Maybe I'm just not that strong. Maybe I'm not able to keep my mouth shut. But Lord, David said, would you watch over my mouth? Would you watch over and guard the words of my mouth? God, you said that we have the ability to speak life or speak death. God, I have spoken a lot of death in my life. And I pray, Lord, that those words of death would fall to the ground and bear no fruit. No fruit in my children, no fruit in my wife, no fruit in this church. God, let those words disappear. Let the words of Christ be rich in my mouth, God. Let all my words be seasoned with salt and love. Let me speak truth in love, God. And until I love, help me just to hold my tongue. God, I'm asking you, Lord, every person that raised their hand in all sincerity, God, they're realizing, Lord, that they need a little help in this area. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to come alongside and help us. Help us with that gentle nudge that says, don't say that. Be quiet right now. Walk in forgiveness. Choose your words wisely. Be Christ-like. God, all that is good counsel. Father, I thank you that you are love and that you teach every one of us how to be like you. And the most godly we are is not when we're gifted, but when the fruit of love abides in our hearts. God, love through us. I believe that you will change the community in which we live when they see a church that is willing not to fight, but is willing to love each other. God, I'm asking you, Lord, to work on each one of us. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come and dismiss us? Amen.
You know, Pastor asked us a question there towards the end, said, do we love enough to tear the roof off? And we always say, yeah, of course I do, of course I do. Well, let's take it a step back. Say, do you love enough to knock on somebody's door and hand them a bag of groceries? That's a lot easier, isn't it? You know, it's a lot less physically intensive too, so it's pretty easy to knock on a door. So if you can say, yeah, I can do that. Well, this Saturday, 6 days from now, at 12 o'clock, is that right? At 12 o'clock here, that's what we're going to do. We're going to gather up bags of food and take them to people, knock on the door and tell them, Jesus loves you, here's some food. So I encourage you, come and be part of that and exercise your love. Amen. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord live His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing and nothing broken, now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.